Blog Talk Radio. Wow, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Oh, my God. I don't know how many of you lately have had moments where God is dealing with you about something, and it's an area that you may have a lot of experience in or none whatsoever. But he lets you know that he wants you to share it and just to trust him in it. You know, he may give you one of those messages that says, I'm not saying this is going to be a popular message, but I'm telling you I want you to share it. So that's where we're at on this morning. Welcome, everyone, to Let's Talk with Minister Sheila and myself, and you know, we usually have Minister Margot and Minister Branson whenever he can, which is lately with his twins and everything hasn't been too much, which I understand. And then Minister Sylvia, you know, she tunes in when she can because she's definitely at work today, hardworking woman. All of us are hardworking. Thank God for that. Minister Sheila, I'm going to turn the program over to you so that you can pray and share. You know, even if God is giving you something to say on this morning, just go ahead and pray and let God use you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I just want to say thank you, thank you. And I want to thank God for all that he blessed today for another birthday, another new day of life, another day to worship and praise and to thank him because we all need to know and to teach those that don't know that without God, we would not be here. Don't think it's because of you. It wouldn't be of you if God and the Lord Christ Jesus wouldn't say, let it be. We're only here due to life because of God, and I thank him constantly, and I thank him, and I thank him because I know he has brought me through. The Father and the Son have brought me through so much that I have to thank them. Life-wise, illness, finance, or just within myself, God has taught me I can do better than that. Don't let the devil convince you that this is the way. Understand, God is the way and the only truthful way, the best way. And I just want to say to let all know, I thank God each and every day because I know when the doctor said, you won't be no more, he gave me the courage and the knowledge to say, you can't tell me what I won't be. God has the last word. And yet God has proven it to me and many doctors, no matter what your medical books or records might say, he can bring you through any and everything. Just let him have his way. As long as God say you are worthy to be my child, he will set you free from all the illness, the addictions, whatever situation of life, he can bring you through it. And I'm going to say, God, I thank you because you have shown me through my life that you and you alone can fix me and heal me when no other one can. I just want to give honor to God, and I say thank you, thank you, and thank you, and to thank you, and I cannot thank you enough. I just want to thank you for waking us all up to work this morning. I want to thank you for Apostle Elect, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Prophet Antoine Thomas, Pastor Troy Thomas, Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, Minister Margaret McCord, Minister Brandon Kaiser, Minister Lawrence C. Berry, Evangelist and Missionary, Tony Montgomery and Linda Handy. I just want to thank you for each and every man and woman on this earth that you have planted to teach us your word and to help us to understand it and to lead us the right way and to convince us no matter what. The devil will show you goodness, but the good will be so ugly in the end. To help us to program the life of love and the way of God and the Father, Lord Jesus. I'm thankful for my sisters, my brothers, my daughters, my sons, my nieces, my nephews, my granddaughters, my grandsons, my aunts, my uncles. I just want to thank you for my bloodline family and also my spiritual family. And I just want to say, Lord, I thank you. Because, yeah, we are here because you say so. I want you to bless this government to lead us all as one. We are all one people, not some people, not a hand-picked people, not some chosen ones that you choose, but to let them know we are all here to be led as we chose you for that office. Is to lead all us, no matter what our color is, our race, our sex, our creed, our religion, but no matter what, we are all sons and daughters of God. And to release this ugliness off of this law enforcement, that they treat us all as one, and these laws that they have put serve us all as equal. Not because of your color or your sex, you dominate them to more ugliness than you do some for the same crime or abuse. But Lord, we need to bless and to let them know that we need to be treated as one, as the same. No ugliness, this racialness, this hatred, this ugliness. Lord, we need you to help us and to control that and to let them know we are all one people. We are all God's children. I just want to say thank you, and thank you, and thank you for blessing us for another day. And I'm going to ask that if, by chance, due to, yes, you know, I work on Sundays, if I cannot end the program, would like Minister Margot McCoy, Minister Sylvia Wright, whichever one, don't mind, I appreciate it, if I cannot end the program. But you also ended for me today. I apologize. But I do thank the Lord for having me with a job of a boss that I can participate in this Sunday morning program. But yet, if people come in, I have to finish and do my job. And I just want to say thank you, thank you. And I apologize. And thanks for which everyone can help me if I cannot end the program. I thank you for God blessing us all and keep us safe. Amen. Back to you, Apostle Elect.
I need thee. Oh, Lord, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now. My Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee, O Lord, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. I thank God because I need Him. If I had to give a title to the things He's going to have me talk about today, it would be, are you, or even I, trying to be people's God, or are we trying to be their Christ-like example? On the 18th, I wrote, greetings, Facebook. Don't allow the fact that we have to let everyone be human to be an excuse for living immoral lifestyles that blame God. People love to blame God and others for their, and whatever it is, their shortcomings or whatever. When people make excuses for why they are being immoral and not Christ-like, it's still called a blame game. Let's practice being Christ-like instead of devil-like or blaming everything on somebody or something else because we claim we're just being human. And so, of course, I'm paraphrasing it. And so I said, just sit down and tell on yourself. Confess. Repent and allow the refiner's fire of God's word to refine you. James 5 and 16 was referenced. 1 John 1 and 9 was referenced. Luke 8 and 17 was referenced. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 and Acts 5, 1 through 10 was referenced. And then on the 21st, I was led to share a part of a morning revelation that the Lord had given me. And it was, God spoke to me this morning. And God said, Cecilia, I'm going to teach you how to teach my people how to stop trying to be people's God and just teach, preach, live, and walk my word. Because Jesus is already my word made flesh. What it really means to be an imitator of Christ, being Christ-like versus being someone's God. This is going to be a little off topic, but then it's going to tie back in. I remember growing up, my sister, Minister Sylvia, and I would go and spend the night with this particular first lady whose husband was a pastor, and this man could preach. Oh, my goodness, he could preach. But they had domestic violence going on in their home. As the world says, he would beat the brakes off of her. And so in actuality, when we went to spend the night with her, we were actually protecting her because our family had such a place and a presence in the Church of God in Christ until this particular pastor, he would not have wanted us to go back and report, you know, any ill things. But I also remembered that I grew up in it, in my own house. And so this particular first lady, she finally left from that situation. But in our case, we were finally, my mother and us as children, were finally delivered from it. So my mother didn't have to leave the situation. We didn't have to leave the situation because eventually my mother's prayers were answered. And then on another topic, these are things I want you to think about as we go over the various things that we're going to talk about. How many of us have actually practiced praising people in public and correcting them in private? How many of us have practiced, I'm going to correct you where you act up? How many of us have actually talked to God about when to correct and when to praise people based off of his leading, his Holy Spirit, and his wisdom? How many of us show love and affection only in public to show off? Or we just do our love and affection in private because we say it's personal, it's nobody's business, or for some other reason? Or how many of us even ask God for his wisdom of how and when to show love and how and when to show affection? Well, you all know, I let you know, I've been excommunicated before. I've been preached on before. I've been used and abused before, inside the church, outside the church, on the job, in schools, in family, with so-called friends, with so-called lovers, or even worse than that. God has never, ever left me or forsaken me, just like his word declares and promises. I can also say that my parents, they actually tried to steer me right. I can also say that I had a teacher or a mentor or two. I haven't had many mentors. Some people have had a lot of mentors in their life, and I celebrate them for that. But I had one in church. Her name was Apostle Sandra Thomas. And I had one on my job. His name was Seth Leventhal. He was an older Jewish man, a devout believer in God. But I never really had any in school or anywhere else in life. Don't really have one now because Apostle Sandra Thomas has gone on to be with the Lord. And Seth Leventhal, he actually retired from the government, so I get to talk to him every once in a while. But I don't get the wisdom that he shared with me for so many years. And so I'm thankful to God for Apostle Sandra Thomas and for Seth Leventhal. I'm thankful to God for his mentorship, for his endowment of his Holy Spirit, for him showing me the things to do or not to do. See, this was one of the things I took to God, and I said, God, I'm from the inner city. I'm this little yellow, red bone girl, whatever they want to call me, that in school and various places, it saddened me, God, that nobody would reach back to mentor me. Nobody thought I was important enough that they didn't want me to be lost in the system of life. Because growing up in the inner city of Chicago, drug addicts, drug dealers, alcoholics, they'll mentor you all day long in the wrong way. But I said, God, how do I deal with this? And God actually said to me that he would send me mentors after his own heart. And that because of the mentors that he would send me that are after his own heart, I might not have as many as other people. Because the mentors he gives me or would give me would be those that would not take his glory, and those that would not use me, and those that would be able to connect with me as a partner in Christ, as a partner in people that love God and love God with their whole heart, as a partner in Christ that these people would not hurt me or try to break me, because the true meat of God's word is what I needed to live by. See, when you eat meat and when you eat food, it's nourishment for your body. It's things that helps you to grow and to heal and to be strong and to build up your muscles while you lift the various weights of life. See, the various things that we go through, they're like weights. They're like 10-pound weights, 50-pound weights, 400-pound weights, whether you're pressing them with your legs or your lifting them with your arms or you're holding them on your chest as you do sit-ups. They're strengthening us so that we can make a difference in this world, so that we ourselves can be the mentors, the Christ-like mentors and leaders that God needs us to be. So that means that there's going to be things that happen in our life that's going to perfect us. There's going to be things that happen in our lives that God's going to need to deliver us from, that he's going to need to set us free from. There are things in our lives that when we're free, we're going to know that we're free indeed. Because, see, we have to know that Jesus is our greatest example. Jesus is that example that a lot of people don't understand and they reject. But there's people like us. Minister Sylvia, Minister Sheila, Minister Margot, Pastor Troy, Prophet Antoine, Dr. Serena Wright, Reverend Lauren Seabury, Elder Ron and Tony, that are going to show us the importance of being mentors and teachers and life role models to not only people younger than us, people our same age, and people older than us. There are people that are going to have a problem with calling you doctor. There are people that are going to have a problem with calling you minister. There are people that are going to have a problem with calling you pastor and teacher. There are people that are going to have a problem with calling you the thing that God has placed you to be in their lives. There are people that are going to reject you as a mentor, but yet you're still going to be their mentor. And as you receive these rejections and God tells you to do just what I said, your muscles your leadership, your strength in him is going to be built up. So those weak places in your lives will start to dwindle and disappear and reduce, and you'll wonder one day, what happened? As Minister Sylvia said, I used to be afraid to fly. What happened? I used to be able to be afraid to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ, but now I do it with boldness, saying, God, whatever I say, I want it to be what you say. And whatever I say that people are nitpicking and tearing apart, I want you to still get the glory out of that too, because they may not accept it today, but my, on tomorrow, it's going to manifest for them. For the simple saying of I accept what God allows had to not only grow on others as God told me to say it, but he had to teach me how to keep saying it, keep saying it, and keep saying it, and it doesn't matter who receives it and who doesn't, because the reality of it all is we all have to accept what God allows. And chapter 22, verses 34 through 40, to show you some of the things that you deal with as a leader, Jesus even dealt with it. Remember, the scribes, the Pharisees, came to him, and a lawyer asked him the question, Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So, since we're to love God with every fiber of our total being, and we're also to love our neighbor, Jesus lets you know he was even questioned. People even tried to put him on Front Street. People even tried to discredit Jesus. These are the very people that claim they were his spokespeople. But that's a whole another message too. So here are a few examples of the things and the people that God's going to send you to. I'm telling you, these are not going to be ideally the things or the people you want to hear about. So whether you're going to be the elementary school teacher or that junior high teacher, or that high school teacher, two-year degree, associate's degree, that bachelor's degree, that master's degree, that doctoral degree professor in the spirit realm, God's going to use you as that person to teach that person that's struggling with the same sin over and over and over again. You may say, well, you said sin. Sin, what sin? God's going to teach you to teach them his word that will deliver them and set them free, such as James, first chapter 19 through 21. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. You may say, well, how will that help them with sin that they've been struggling with? It says to humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So that means we need to teach them the word of God. Not our opinion, but teach them what the word of God says concerning that sin, concerning that moral filth, so that they can be saved. Because, see, remember, the word is what will save them. It doesn't say that we will save them, but it says humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So as that word is planted in them and someone else comes along and waters that word, or even God uses you to do it, or come by and put that manure or whatever it needs to be placed on it. Yeah, there's going to be some manure on that seed that's planted. Ooh, you just wait and see. But that thing, that word, that situation that they need to be delivered from, that word that needs to grow in order to save them, will do just what God said it would. And then there's others that are struggling with many sins, but they're also suffering from low self-esteem. And then you have the other one on the other side of the pendulum, and sometimes they're on the same side, that are suffering from pride. Some people that act prideful and arrogant, they're really insecure. And so although it may manifest itself as vanity, if you only knew how many mornings they woke up questioning what they look like, questioning their degrees or lack of, or questioning their positions in society, but questioning everything about them, that they come out and they put on a facade and they walk with their head high and they're talking about the these and the thous and the their whiffs and the their bees, and they're constantly correcting everyone else because they themselves are insecure. That's a whole nother message. God is going to teach you how to give him his word that declares and it they can stand on, such as 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 5. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Ooh. Ooh. God help me, because I almost said, but God didn't let me, but I'm going to let y'all know what I almost said. I almost said, baby, bye. See, that's what we would say, you know, just talking to our girlfriends or significant others. She's like, baby, die. But in this case, I'm saying it keeps no record of wrong. How many of you all can say, because I can't, I'm not even going to tell that lie, I can't say that I haven't kept records of wrong, because I have. I can't say that in some cases I haven't been that person that wasn't loving and kind or patient with people. It takes different type of humility and humbleness to be patient with people. My God, help me on being patient with people. Because it says love is patient. Remember, love is God. It says love is kind. It says things about it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it isn't proud, it doesn't dishonor, it's not self-seeking, it doesn't easily anger, but it's keeping a record of wrongs. Woo, deliver me, oh Lord, deliver me. Now let's move on, because we're still going to have to be that person that helps people that have been physically, mentally, chemically, and verbally abused. Yes, even those that say that they've had church hurt, or church people have hurt them, or whatever they want to call what they were hurt by and how it was done. Yes, even in the church, even on your job, even in your homes. And some people, it never really happened. Their mind is telling them that it happened. Some people, when you correct them, they perceive it as you wronged them. But there's a different whole methodology to dealing with people that preach on people. That's you being their God, like it or not. Preach the word. Let the word of God deliver them and set them free. Instead of them walking around in condemnation because you've become their God now, they're trying to impress you because you've preached their business all over the church. And if you haven't preached it, you've gossiped it. You call somebody on the phone. Well, I was just telling you, we need to pray for so-and-so. No, you ain't called to tell them you all need to pray for so-and-so. You called to gossip. Let's not make excuses for our behavior. Let's not make excuses for those things that we do. Because remember, whether you're in the White House or the pulpit or the gas station or your neighborhood or in your home or in the classroom, we all were saved by grace and the mercy of God. And if we weren't, they're yet sinners. But we have to know that those people that we've hurt or those people that have hurt us, they need to hear the word of God, such as Galatians 5, 19 and 21 that says, now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sex, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalry, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. James 1, 19 through 20 says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak. Slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Matthew 18, 15, 17. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him, not others, but go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. See, you may say, well, why did she read the one earlier about sexual immorality and dissension and things of that sort? Have you seen those pastors that have slept with everyone in the church, or their children have slept with everyone in the church? Or that pastor that was exposed on TV and different things like that? Sometimes those things hurt people so much until they cannot be delivered from it. We had an incident where we had a pastor that was over us that although he knew he was still practicing same-sex relations, he married another pastor that we knew. And then it was exposed that he was still doing that. And then it went so far as he actually consummated his marriage to another man, my goodness, on public media. So I had someone that was really hurt. They called me. They wanted me to pray with them because this person had supposedly laid hands on them and prophesied into their life and prophesied into their life and various things like that. And they were upset over this person's orgies and different things of sexual immorality. And God didn't allow me to talk about them. He allowed me to talk about the word and how God loves us, and how he will heal us, and how we can't be going around in fits of anger because of people being human and them still yet being delivered. And, you know, when you get to the point that the person was so hurt until they forgot that you, too, sat under this person, but they thought that their hurt and their things that they were dealing with was different than yours. That in itself is a type of division and dissension and rivalry that one would think that their hurt was so much greater than yours that they could call you and you could minister to them. But what about if you needed to be ministered to as well? That's a whole nother message. There are some of us that are going to have to preach and minister and teach to that person that's been raped, sodomized, molested, used for perverted pleasures of another, whether it's human trafficking, someone in the church. If you haven't seen the Aretha Franklin movie yet, Respect, go see it. You will see how 10-year-olds and 11-year-olds, we have a family member who was raped by her mother's brother, her uncle. We have family members that were raped and abused by cousins and even their parents and someone that was from when they were a very baby. And then you wonder why people act a certain way, why they are so promiscuous, because they've never been healed from that childhood molestation or rape or that thing that happened in the church that everybody wanted to keep quiet, or that thing that happened in the family that everybody wanted to keep quiet, instead of allowing God to decode and expose that thing so that that person can be delivered or set free, if they wanted to be delivered and set free. I'm not talking about the victim in this case. I'm talking about the person that did it, because believe it or not, they need to be delivered as well. So then that's when we will share with those people not our anger, not our offense because of what they did, but we have to share with them the word of God. Romans 12 and 19 says, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Psalms 34 and 18, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." Matthew 11 and 28, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." That's 11 and 28, Matthew 11 and 28. 1 Timothy 1 and 9, "Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for the sinners, for the unholy and profane, for the murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers." We have to know there are wolves sitting amongst us, in our families, in the churches, on our jobs, and they act like they say, they do whatever. They want you to trust them, male on female. Sometimes it's male on male and it's female on female. I remember a prophetess who was very hurt because the person that she had babysitting her daughter, she thought was her best girlfriend, was her best friend, a great woman of God, a blah, 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 leader in the ministry, leader in church. But she was actually having relations with her daughter, and then her daughter grew up to practice the same thing. And she was so hurt, she couldn't believe that she was so naive to not knowing what this woman had been doing to her daughter all these years. There are stories of men that had someone as their armor bearer, and they were doing all types of perverted things. Some of them were exposed on TV, which many of you know about, some of them in Atlanta, some of them in Chicago, et cetera, et cetera. But we have to know we can't be so trusting with people, because God teaches us to watch and pray. There is nobody perfect. Not saying that everybody will hurt your child or everyone will hurt you, but let's use the wisdom of God, that if something in our belly, that discernment is telling us something is wrong, then more than likely it's wrong. Now let's move on to another person that we'll probably have to help. You know what? I'm starting to see that it may not be just a part one to this. It may be a part two, or it may be the rest of it I just keep. There's going to be a person that has a 30-minute, 30-day, 30-week, 30-month, 30-year, 40-year, 50-year, and so on, soul tie that they thought was broken, but in actuality, they were only holding out because they didn't want to disappoint the preacher. They didn't want to be preached on. They didn't want to disappoint that earthly God that they have, that pastor, that apostle, that minister, that spouse, that child, that boss, that friend, or that any type of person, that organization or that group that they belong to. You know, that person, that thing that they've made their God is why they had stopped doing what they're doing, not because they had been delivered. Just because they hadn't succumbed to the various temptations, they had not been set free. But see, the devil is cunning and he's patient because, see, he knows that you haven't truly been delivered. So he's strategically waiting and setting you up because he knows that that person as soon going to succumb to that soul tie. You say, no, nobody's going to not do nothing for 30, 90, 70 years and then succumb to it. The devil is a lie. I know plenty of people that have, that not only called me for prayer, I had to let them know that I've been guilty of that myself, where I thought I was delivered from something. And then when it popped up, I said, oh, Lord, help me. But then when I repented and got back up again, my God, that's the key. Repent and get back up again. Don't run from the church. Don't run from prayer, but run into God. Run towards God. Because that's where your deliverance is, because you stay out there because the enemy wants to shame you. He wants to shut you up because, see, you've got a gift in you that's going to deliver other people. So as you share God's word with them, such as 1 Corinthians 7 and 5, you'll remind them, do not deprive each other except perhaps by mutual consent for a time so that you may devote yourself to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Yes, this is to a married person because, yes, married people cheat. Yes, married people are kept as well. But for those that have cheated on their spouse, fall down and get back up. There's no excuse. You are human, but fall down and get back up. 2 Corinthians 11 and 3, but I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, see, we talked about his cunning, and your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Because if your ears have been circumcised, if no other voice will you follow other than the word of God, how did you hear somebody else? How did you hear the serpent? If your ear can only hear God, we have to ask God to circumcise our ears so that we won't be easily deceived. We think about Eve. She heard the devil. Why didn't she hear her husband? Why didn't she hear Adam? Why wasn't her ear circumcised so much that she could not hear him? Why was she looking for love in other places? Oh, I got to wait because that's coming up. See, we've got to realize that sometimes that stronghold, that thing in our lives makes it where we can't hear God and we're going to be led astray. So we teach people about what the enemy of our soul, the serpent, did to Eve. We teach people about the times that we were led astray. We teach people about being devoted to Christ for real. Zechariah 3, verses 1 and 2. Then he showed me Josiah, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire? See, Satan's always going to God to accuse you. He's cunning. He's patient. He's waiting for you to fall. He's waiting for you to do something that he can accuse you of. Now, there are several other instances that God has given me to share with you. But because of time's sake, I'm going to hold off on them. And whether I discuss them, you know, next week or next time, I'm not sure yet. But this is the one thing that I do know. God wants us to know the importance of not being a person's God and just being their Christ-like example. When we're their God, they stop doing stuff because they don't want to displease us. They stop doing stuff because they don't want us to preach on them. Who made us God that we can have the authority to preach on people? Who made us God? We have been created in his likeness, in his image, and we're to be Christ-like. We're to be imitators of Christ. When we share the word of God with people, we're sharing Christ with them because he's our deliverer. He's our strong tower. He's our savior. He's our God. He's making intercession for us. So let's stop being people's God. Let's stop being so disappointed in them and always trying to correct them with what we think. instead of just telling them what the word says. If they have problems with peace, share the word of God that talks about peace that surpasses all understanding. If they have problems with fornication, share the scriptures with them that talks about being sober-minded and about being those that are free from perversion. If they have problems with gossiping, share the scriptures with them that talks about being meek and showing loving kindness. And just share the word of God. There's a scripture from Genesis to Revelation that will help people to be delivered by the strong deliverer, the one and only true and deliverer, God, not us. God, not us. Christ, not us. I'm not expecting everyone to like this message. I'm not even expecting everyone to accept this message on today or whenever God gives me the opportunity to give the rest. But what I do expect is that God will prick the ears and the hearts and the minds and the total beings, every fiber of their total being, until he will wake us up to hear what God is saying to the church. Let's be Christ-like examples. Let's stop hoarding our authority that God has given us. He's given us dominion over the fowl. He's given us dominion over the plant, not one another. He's our God. Let's be and have dominion over the things that he's given us dominion over. Parents, you're not your kids' God. Aunts, uncles, nieces, and nephews, you're not their God. You're their Christ-like example. I turn it over to you, Minister Sheila. Minister Sheila, if you're not able or you're on mute, I'll ask if anyone else is able to do the close out and open up the lines.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for Apostle Elect for your words, encouragement, and your teaching. And I just want to say thank the Lord for the day. And I just want to say the lines are open. So if anyone have a testimony, a comment, or remarks, your time is now.
God bless you. Thank you, God. This is Minister Margo. And I just want to thank Apostle Elect for her words today, for helping us to understand that we do have a role in the kingdom, but we need to be sure of what that role is. I guess, as they say, we need to stay in our lane. And one of the things that came across to me was this whole understanding that we are not idols, that we need to be careful, that we are not expecting others to worship us. That's how Satan got in trouble, because he wanted to be worshiped. We have to be so careful that we don't think it's our words, as you said, Apostle, that we are to lead those who come to us and who God has put in our lives, put them back in touch with the word. Speak the word to them. And even as we listen, to remember not to come back with the negative, not to give an okay to their feelings, but to simply tell them, this thus saith the Lord, and to get out of ourselves and to make sure that we are being that example. Thank you so much. God bless you and keep you. And I'll be thinking and praying about this word as I go through my week, as we hope all those who are representing Christ do the same. God bless you.
Amen. This is Minister Sylvia, and I just wanted to say, as Minister Margo says, stay in our lane, but I want to say to Apostle Elect, thank you for that word, and as we also say in the world, that word was fire. Yes, that word was fire, because it gave us something to let burn in our ear gates while we're asking God to circumcise our ears. It gave us something to dwell in our heart, to let burn in our heart, while we even ask God to circumcise our heart. God, why am I still feeling something from someone 30, 40, 20, however many years ago? Because what you have to do, remember, is why did you break up in the first place? That's like you say, Apostle, that's another story. But I thank you for that word on today. It was fine. Amen. Minister Sylvia.
Thank you, Minister Margo McCoy and Minister Sylvia Kaiser-Wright, for your comments and your words of encouragement. Is there anyone else? Okay, I want to thank you for all that was listening, and I just want to thank you all for understanding and realizing that God is the way, and He can make everything okay and fine with you. All right. I just want to, like I said, I apologize. Like I said, I want to thank you. But I'm going to ask Minister Sylvia Kaiser-Wright, can you finish out the programs and make the announcements of the weekly services and everything? Because right now it's about to get noisy, and I don't want to be interrupting the program.
Yes, I could do it. I'm at work also, but I'm going to just ask you all, please tune in on tomorrow for Minister Ron Montgomery along with Missionary Tony Montgomery at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Also, come back next Friday for Prophet Antoine Thomas with whatever God has put in his heart at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and then tune back in on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time with our very own Apostle Alexa Shelley Kaiser and Minister Sheila Kaiser and Minister Brandon Kaiser. I believe the Apostle said this will be part two of what God is sharing with us, and I thank God for teaching us how to allow Him to be our God, our Lord and Savior, that we claim is the head of our lives. I want to also remind you all of our foundational scripture, which is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I would like to also find out if there was anyone else that really wanted to speak and say something before I turn it back over to the woman of God, Apostle Sister Elect, and she closed us out. At this time, if someone on the line wants to speak, please speak up now. Okay, woman of God is back in your hands.
Amen. Father God, we glorify you. And we magnify you. God, we lift you up to you. We introduce everybody to you, God, the one and only true and living God. God, you're high, you're lifted up, you're to be extolled. God, you are who we need you to be, and God, even who we don't even know we need you to be. God, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for being the love of our lives. We thank you, God, for being God alone. God, we cannot thank you enough. If I had 1,000 tongues, I could not thank you enough, God. God, I just want to thank you for the revelation of who you are. Thank you for letting me know who you are every day. You reveal yourself in ways that you have not revealed yourself unto us, God. We thank you for the dreams and the visions. We thank you for the favor and the grace and the mercy. We thank you for the open doors and the shut doors. We thank you for the decreases and the increases. God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. God, we thank you for every promotion. God, we thank you for everybody that you introduce us to that will be soul winners for you, God. We just want to thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.